is and was one of the main precincts of the Fallen Empire. And what you are hearing is this river that cuts through the prairies in a deep canyon that goes through the city. And on the other side, a massive waterfall is just falling. You are hearing the sound of water crashing. As you are getting closer, however, at a certain point, you start to notice things around the ground, sort of these, they look like tiny fence poles, but there's nothing, it's just the pole, there's no netting. There's these like five little spikes at the top pointing in like a pentagon shape. And as soon as you pass these, you hear the white noise. What you actually don't hear is the white noise of the waterfall. It is muffled as you realize living in a city next to a waterfall, you find a way to tune out noise, not only through environmental customization, but through mechanical means. This is a very technological city in a way that Shinier was not. You enter this sort of first pseudo gate, and as you approach from one side of this river, basically this canyon river, you are approaching the city as it towers above you now, many buildings. And the thing I think that is risky, you first feel or first see, I think you get in okay. So I think you get in, but you're starting to feel like things are a bit off. You get off your bikes, you enter the city. As you're entering it, people seem in a bit of a rush. At first, it is not notable. You have never been here before. This is a city. People are in a rush. At one point, you're in a line. You're in the line for some market, some item, some place, and as you get to the front of the line with whatever goods you have, the person looks at, I imagine, maybe Tiffany. Are you the one checking out?
Probably, since she's the one with the list.
How are you paying?
That is a good question. How would we be paying?
That's a great question. This person is looking at you, waiting for you to pay.
In setting.
Do you ask
that? What is currency? Like, Tiffany knows cities. She spent years in one of the large cities. So what is customary here?
You would be familiar with, prior to the fall of the empire or the synergic precincts, there was a currency. There was a common currency within the precincts. This is similar to the currency that Argus has in his pocket. However, post-collapse, currency was not really a thing. In fact, markets kind of became more about, in smaller communities like Shinair, it was more about, much like in your own community, many communities kind of did a 180, and through the method of removing the precincts from power, the majority of places, markets are you trade. You provide, you offer something if you want it to be transactional. This is not always true, though. Sometimes you don't need a transactional thing, but if you are from the outside, you might bring trade. Just as like a, almost like a gift, but, you know, gifts being a bit more transactional than just a gift in this case.
So what sorts of things do we gather? What resources do we have access to that would not be readily available here? Because presumably that is one of the things that we gather.
Yeah. Probably things from your journey that you collected from the Linifer Mountains that are not available in the prairies, in the Fell Prairies.
Yeah. Maybe I was thinking like something like truffles or something, you know, things that grow in the wild that are hard to find. But if you're traveling through a place, maybe.
Yeah, some rare foraged berries.
Yeah.
Things that are portable but hard to find.
Yeah. Not in large quantities, but like, yeah, things that are still quite
possibly valued. Also some particularly fine lumber if we found some, like that might be, like that would be heavier, but perhaps worth carting around. And I think a significant part of Tiffany's job is probably also kind of tracking what goods we have for trade versus what goods we need to keep for our own use.
The thing is, you go to make this trade, right? You have things. Mm-hmm. You go to make the trade, and the person just looks at you with sort of this like indignation, like, what are you doing? And says, sweetie, we only use the coin still. Which, like, what does that mean, right? You use the coin? That doesn't mean anything to you. Mm-hmm. I mean, you would call it, you'd probably call it a credit or something.
Money,
right? We use money, not the coin.
Yeah. And I mean, Tiffany will say the coin. Just money.
The coin of the new Arkide.
Then what?
Have I used the term Arkide yet?
No. Nor? Excuse me.
Arkide. Nor. Arkide was the title of the leader of the precincts. Short
yeah.
For Arkidolog.
But with this new bit of context for us, Tiffany's comment stands. Because she wasn't aware of there being a new Arkide.
Mm-hmm. Y'all aren't from around here?
No.
I think it's someone else who hears this conversation who's looks a little bit distraught. I think maybe in the background we saw this person talking to other people, but I think hears you, sees you. It's this tall, thin black woman with a short buzz, soft facial features, an eyebrow ring, and arm and neck tattoos. And she comes up to you and with a very, very like a quiet demeanor, much like Ida's, she just says, you might want to get out of the city.
Are there people looking at us right now? Like Argus wants to look around, like, are we drawing attention to ourselves by doing this?
Mm-hmm. You sure are.
But there are goods that we require. We are hoping to do honest trade.
It's not a matter of trade. Well, maybe I don't think trade is going to be your biggest issue, but I can help you now if this will get you to go.
Why should we leave?
The person behind the counter also looks a bit confused. Like, what? I just imagine it's like this rounder, sort of short, curly, brown curly hair white lady who has like rosy cheeks and like sort of a poofy dress, who's just like looking like really confused. And she's just looking at this person like a little suspiciously.
Should we maybe go somewhere quickly to talk? People seem to be staring.
I think you end the interaction, right? This person with the eyebrow ring agrees and pulls you aside. But here's the risky situation. This person says, there's a storm coming.
Oh.
Not many people know. You can't tell people. It'll raise too much anxiety. People will start rioting. But we need to get people to safety. I need to get people to safety.
I need to set up
some
devices.
Please, just leave the city.
Oh, this is an opportunity. I need to get my gear.
What?
Do you know which way it's coming from? How do you know it's coming?
What? I can't. I don't. Who are you?
Oh, my name's Tiffany.
That's not what I meant. You should really leave the city.
Well, but you just said a storm's coming. That's...
Yes.
If that's true, that's very exciting.
Looks at you with incredulation. Like, doesn't understand the words you're saying in response to the words being told to you.
I mean, I'm sure Tiffany's coming across as essentially a storm chaser right now.
Yeah, I don't think you... I don't know if you realize that this person is not cluing into that or doesn't know what that is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but like,
but
in terms
it's just
of,
looking at you like,
if you
why
walk
would
up
you
to someone
even...
and say, "Hey, there's a hurricane coming," and someone goes, "Oh, mm-hmm. awesome!" It's a weird reaction.
I love that.
Yeah,
I love that the way it's being read is that there's a physical storm coming rather than there's like a metaphorical storm coming.
Mm-hmm.
But how do you know about this storm? If you have some,
you see them turning over something in their mind, trying to make a decision. The risky situation here is that you are starting to attract attention with these conversations. You see the shorter, round white woman sort of disappear into like a back door of some sort, and you are talking to this person. Reiterate your question.
How does this person know that a storm is coming? Because that kind of predictive ability is of extreme interest to Tiffany.
Can you give me a... It almost feels like empathize. Empathize or...
Understand a person intuitively, feel their emotions if they're your own, listen to someone's story, gain an understanding of their perspective.
Yeah, I think it's empathize.
I'm better at that than perceive. Position?
It's risky. I think it is a risky standard. No bonus dice.
2! Yay!
God fucking damn it.
Ah, Tiffany, it's good to have you back.
All right. Two things happen. First, where are Argus and Anya in as this is happening? Are you all together or did you split up, I guess?
I would assume together, but that's up to them, I suppose.
I'd say we were together.
I think Anya...
Argus would just be taking a defensive... Like, if we're inside, he's by a door or a window. If not, just keeping an eye out.
Anya is outside with the bikes staring up at the sky.
Then it is probably Argus who notices it first. That some people are talking and someone points in your direction and they're heading over. I don't know if you warn anyone, but like it is, it looks like they're wearing some sort of armor from a distance. As they get closer, you start to see the trimming. And as they get within sort of a readable distance, I think there's maybe a chilling familiarity of symbolism that is not the same as, but is very reminiscent of that of the precincts.
Mm-hmm.
This person is wearing an emblazoned sort of guard uniform, like an official who is there to enforce someone's will.
Okay. I don't know if this is applicable right now, but if possible, I'd like to use my Dark Omen special ability.
Ooh.
Which I'll read out quickly. When you use your impossible knowledge to persuade someone, gain +1 effect level. If a fate you warned of comes to pass, mark XP. I think my impossible knowledge is that whatever symbology I'm seeing is very reminiscent of something I've seen in the future, perhaps.
Interesting.
Do you think that's accurate?
I will come back to this. I do, and I will pay this off. We'll roll for that, but I want to pay off the rest of this too that Tiffany got. I think this other person talking to Tiffany is looking around and realizing the shopkeep has like left, and then looks at you, Tiffany, and says, "It really feels like you're gonna die if I leave you here.
Oh,
you
goodness.
Need to come with me."
Okay.
And is gonna grab you and start heading out the back door where the shopkeep was going. So, Tiffany is going out one door, and from the other door, where Argus is standing, paying attention to the guard, and Anya is chilling.
And where's Ida's with us?
With the bikes. Yeah, where is... I guess Ida is probably... Yeah, I'd say Ida's with you. I think was like standing back. In fact, I think Ida tells Argus this is happening. It's like, Argus, Tiffany's being dragged.
Tiffany is going to call out to Argus. Hey, grab Anya, would you? Apparently you're being dragged somewhere.
Yeah. Shoot, I don't want to leave our bikes, but probably just the best to leave.
I imagine they can, like, fold up.
Really?
I don't know. Why do hover bikes need to be big?
That's a great question for a later time.
I'm going to say you can have them with you. They are like just as encumbering as a backpack, say.
Okay. In as chill a way as possible, I'll go up to Anya and say we have to go.
Do you want to use your dark omens here?
I was going to use it to persuade the person to lead us to safety, but they're already doing that. So maybe... Mm-hmm.
I love seeming so useless that someone goes, wow, you will just die if I abandon you, huh?
I don't know. Something to distract the people coming towards us is yet another thought I have. I think I would just like to use it to get away in a stealthy manner. You know, do something to...
So almost throw this person off your trail.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So do you stay behind and talk to this guard who is approaching?
Sure. I'll send Anya to follow and I'll hang back for a moment.
Hmm? What? Oh.
Anya, go.
Right, yep. Anya.
The three of you, Tiffany, Anya, and Ida, go into the shop and head out the back door along with this person who has not told you their name and come out sort of an alleyway in the back. This person is nimble and quick and is not quite running, but is definitely not walking in a direction and is like taking these turns that are weaving and dodging down alleyways. And at a certain point, you are like at this break in buildings where you would step out into sort of an open plaza. However, it is it's busy, people are in a rush, and it's very light. So it's a little like blinding as you're stepping out, but sort of like takes the stance of someone who needs to be somewhere and turns to you and says, follow my lead, and just like goes, doesn't even wait, and is cutting across this plaza in a way that if you do not keep up with them, you are going to lose them in the crowd.
Well, definitely not leaving them behind, or getting left behind by them, rather.
Mm-hmm. We're going to come back to this in a second. I want to pay off the persuasion that is happening with the guard. Argus, as this guard comes up to you, they say, is there trouble over here?
Say... No trouble here. And then I'll say something like, what were you saying the power was again? The Arcid or something? The
Arcide.
The Arcide. And then what's the organization called again?
The one that fell? It was the Synergic Precincts.
The Precincts, right. But these people are not, I don't perceive them to be part of the Precincts.
Here's the thing. It's almost strange because there's like, almost a memorial-like aspect to the imagery. And I think this could be part of the role is figuring out what's going on, because I think this guard asks you, who do you stand with?
Mm-hmm. I'm trying to think, like, I want to say that my dark omen gives me perhaps a statement or a turn of phrase that their organization uses within their ranks to either... inspire or something, you know, kind of propaganda like, or you know how like there'll be kind of a saying or something mm-hmm. like that. I'm imagining he mm-hmm. knows one of those and may use it to mm-hmm.
stand on guard, we could say. No, no.
Like the sun shines upon all of this, you know, the sun shines clearly to mm-hmm. on all those that stand. Now I'm thinking stand on guard. Like,
I mean, let's see if you do it, right? You need to roll for
this.
Yeah,
you're right.
So this would be, I believe, what is this? Da-da-da. What is the manipulate one? I think it's express. Use words with an agenda in mind.
Either express or conceal, maybe?
Yeah, it might be conceal. conceal. Yeah, I think.
I am trying to lie.
You are kind of hiding.
Like the goal is to conceal my friends and also conceal my. But also, I see what you mean. Express. But to me, express is like.
You might convince a long time. Yeah, no. Let's go with conceal.
Yeah. I think express requires a little more giving truthfully.
I think you might choke down at your true feelings and lie to someone. I think even though it's kind of a lie, but I think it falls under a lie. So yeah, let's go conceal.
Okay. What's my position
so
here?
So this is a risky great because you're using dark omen, which gives you +1 effect level.
Okay. Risky, great, not transcended, no. Oh, can I use my +1 D or was that not? That was for something. That was like for our
+1.
Oh, no, that was for something else. Never mind. That was for like our beginning roll on the mission. Oh, that's a 3.
Oh, my God. Here's the thing that you see. I think you get these flashes.
Right. Could I use a link? To give +1 D to this?
You sure could.
There we go. That's a thing I can do.
Okay. Should I just do another roll?
Either
and then
a link
we'll
or
take
a patty.
Yeah, just roll one more time.
And then we'll take the higher.
Yeah, sorry. I should have said that before the roll was made. I'm still learning what the system does.
Don't worry.
I mean, I can also, again, I could offer you, I know we're kind of doing things out of order here, but you can always push yourself and take a poisoned promise.
I'm gonna take the link, and if that doesn't work, I could take a poison promise, or is that not how it is?
You're supposed to do this before you make the roll.
I see.
Yeah, you're supposed to do it before, but I'm fudging things a little bit since the first of the mission. It's not the first, but it's your first of the mission.
I'm gonna take Tiffany's link and just reroll.
You could also push yourself, take 2 stress to get a further die. Instead of a poison promise, fewer long-term ramifications, but more short-term ones.
Okay, yes, I'll take a stress, but how's that going to change what we're doing now? Like, can I take a link and take stress, or is that redundant?
Yeah, so you would take 2 stress, and you would be rolling 2 dice instead of 1 die.
On this next roll.
Yeah.
Yeah.
To be
so the link gives you
1,
and then taking 2 stress gives you another 1.
I understand.
Does it look like for you to receive a link from Tiffany on this?
I think it's part of the dark omen. Like, maybe I think of future Tiffany and her countenance or her
archive Tiffany.
Archive Tiffany. Well, not quite archive, but yeah, like figurehead Tiffany, and try to channel that connection and power and confidence. Mm-hmm. So it's still risky. The effect is great. Transcendence is no, but I don't understand how I could add an extra dice here for stress, like using the roll 20 thing. That's all. I'm just a little.
Oh, if you want to just do r/2d6 or /r2d6.
Forward slash?
If you're using 2 stress. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
I believe. Or it's /.
One or the other. Okay.
Holy shit.
That is that's 3 threes.
2 more 3s. So it's a 3. I think I have to accept this.
Make sure to mark those 2 stress.
Yep, I did.
Yeah. And mark that link that's used up for Tiffany. Here's the thing. I think it's almost a little overwhelming as you realize these threads that are connecting. You're seeing sort of this branching effect that is happening in real time. You're almost at like a a pivotal moment. You're at like a pivot point in time that's just like branching in so many directions that it's like you are getting these flashes. You are seeing threads expand from Fainzon outwards, and these dark threads that are reaching towards you almost and pulling you in. There's this like spiral of a headache coming on, and you just like start feeling almost a little sick, and this person starts to get a bit agitated at you not responding immediately.
Can I just throw up in front of him then? Can I do that?
You sure could. Yes. Yes, you do that.
What an amazing thing. A guard comes up to you. Is there something the matter here? Puke.
And I think they are going to say, sir, I think you need to come with me.
I don't say anything. I'll just go with them.
And they're, okay. All right. We will come back to you. So on the other side with Tiffany, Anya, and Ida, you are following this person who has run into the crowd, who you are trying to keep up with. I would suggest a group action.
All right. What action?
Flow. This would definitely be flow.
That checks out.
And here's the thing. Part of why I suggest a group action is that Anya has a really good ability. Would you like to read it, Rally?
Yes, I believe you're referring to perfect pitch. No, I'm joking. To synchronize. When you move, when you're involved in a group action, you may count multiple sixes from different roles as a critical success. When leading, you take at most one stress, regardless of the number of failed roles during a group action.
How do we make group actions again?
You just declare you are doing a group action. You declare who is leading the group action. And then everyone rolls their stat that is relevant. Then, normally, without this move, what would happen is you'd take the highest result among all of the results. Mm-hmm. And for everyone who failed, the leader would gain a stress.
Gotcha. Mm-hmm. Well,
so, however, with this ability, Anya at most gains one stress, regardless of the number of fails. Mm-hmm. So if all three of you were rolling and, you know, you failed a lot, Anya would only gain one stress. However, this is only if Anya is leading.
And I think if
someone's regardless of if Anya's leading. But
yeah.
Yes, regardless of if Anya is leading, if Anya's involved in the role, if you get multiple sixes, it counts as a critical success, even if the two of you separately had the sixes.
Mm-hmm. Well, the bad news is there's almost no chance I'm going to get a six here. Because the odds six are 1 in 36.
Or you could start to push yourself or ask for a poisoned promise. You can also use your links, of course. And this is a risky standard.
Well.
So, paint me a picture. Is Tiffany leading?
I feel like that's the case, since she was the one who was grabbed and pulled off.
Mm-hmm. I mean, you are no longer grabbed, and that's the thing.
Yeah, but she was the one closest.
Okay.
Like, for all that I
so
would like to
So are you grabbing
give,
the others?
I mean, I called after them.
Mm-hmm. So. And how are you making sure this is a... Are you just basically, like, how are you... Paint me a little bit of a picture of leading. I think that's what I'd like.
I think because she is physically in the space between the person she's following and the people that are also trying to come with her, she is trying to both keep an eye on the person she's following while also remaining visible enough to be followed by the people that are like trying to follow. Like, she's not just trying to follow, she is trying to bring these people along with her. And so she's, you know, checking behind, making sure they're following, that sort of thing.
I do love follow reader.
So, this is the point where you would each roll flow. However, would either of you like either a poison promise or to push yourself or use your links for each other? Or Argus could use a link for either of you.
It's true. I may take two stress. Failing here would not be ideal. So yeah, I'll take two stress.
I think we got this.
That brings me to rolling one. Just to remind you. That gives me 50-50 odds.
Hmm.
What's your flow stat?
My flow stat, I have one in flow.
You know what? I think losing track of this person would be extremely bad. I will use a link on you to...
Would it help if I did something to set up a teammate, set up another character with your action? If you achieve it, any team members who follow up get plus one effect or improved position, and that would be...
Yeah, so you're talking about a follow-up. Or sorry, you're talking about teamwork.
Yeah. So getting to a higher part of teamwork and following from there. And then using that to direct Tiffany as she goes forward.
Mm-hmm. A setup action. Yeah. Yes. If you want to use a setup action, describe what you're doing and you'd roll for it. And then you might have greater effect or reduced position.
Okay. I think Anya climbs up onto a roof and starts running along, keeping track of the person that's running and shouting down to Tiffany, take a left, go that way.
All right. Would you like to roll flow and see how this goes?
Yes, ma'am. This is risky?
Yep, that's a risky standard.
Okay, transcendent no, bonus dice zero.
Damn.
Wow, that's a good six.
Full success.
That's
full
a good success. Six.
So that's no one six so far.
Yep. Well, that's not part of the next roll, but, no, but this does mean
it's part of synchronized, isn't it?
What?
It's part of synchronized, isn't it?
Nope. That was a separate roll.
Oh, damn.
Yeah. So that was a setup action. So now you're going to get either greater effect or reduced position.
I think improved position is probably the thing to go with.
Yeah. Let me just double check. I think you can also give a plus one this way. I just need to double check. You can set up another character's action by creating an opportunity for allies. You contribute to an ally's action indirectly. Perform an action that makes sense to set up your friend's action. If you're successful, they get either increased effect or better position on their roll. Okay, sorry. There isn't a plus one. So yeah, there is a reduced position, which means this would be a limited standard. Or sorry, this would be a controlled standard. So now this would be the role that your synchronize would help with. Would you like to push yourself or use any links? And it sounded like yes. It sounded like Tiffany is using one link. So you're going to be rolling with plus one. Would you like to push yourself or have a poison promise?
I am still very close to Eclipse.
You can't always spend links to remove stress.
That's true. And I must have full links with Argus, so I would probably, narratively, I don't know how I would spend links unless that's from the previous scenes, but...
Yeah, you can spend them whenever.
Oh, then I'm going to spend two from Argus and one from Tiffany to reduce stress.
Cool. So then, do you want to push yourself? Is that what you're setting up?
Yep.
All right. Then you'll be rolling with plus two, so that's three dice total, and then... I believe, Tiffany, you are rolling 1D because you have plus one.
Yeah, so, I mean, at that point, if we have three going, we're not going to get the crit most likely. I might as well just not push myself and eat the one stress.
You have four dice so far.
Yep. I give you three.
Oh, you give me... Whoa.
Wait, what?
Well, because I'm doing one plus two, so that's three.
That's
so,
for yourself.
Towards the max, yeah. I didn't mean like towards bonusing. I just meant like cumulatively.
Right. Yeah, but so if I'm rolling one or if I'm rolling two, if I'm leading and I fail, I take one stress. If I push myself and I fail, I take three stress. If I push myself and I succeed, I take two stress.
I see what you're saying.
So I think I won't bother pushing myself because it sounds pretty likely that Anya's going to succeed with a total of three.
Sure.
We'll
all right.
So I'll just beat the one stress from my failure. That's almost.
You know what? I want
happen.
Tiffany. I want you to roll first.
Of course we do. All right. So this is risky. No, controlled.
This is a controlled standard. Yep.
Yeah. No transcendent. No bonus dice.
One bonus dice.
One bonus die. What for?
Because you got one. You got plus one, didn't you?
From what?
I thought you.
I'm not pushing myself.
Oh, right. You went back on that.
Yeah.
Okay, so you failed.
And here's the thing. It was a one and a three. So if I'd rolled one die, it would have been a one. Same difference. I knew it.
Not necessarily, but that's mark one stress. And now let's see, Anya, your turn to roll. You have plus two bonus dice.
So it's a 3D6? Limited,
or sorry, it's a controlled standard.
Okay. That's just, I click D6 and then plus two? Or do I just roll?
Click flow.
Click flow. I see. Position risky. Standard.
Position controlled.
Position controlled. Standard.
Plus two. You really needed them. You really needed all those dice.
Five dice.
That's a
one,
four,
three.
A three, and a two. So you succeed on a mixed success. You only take one stress from this group action. And Anya is, I guess, the one who makes sure that the three of you stay together. I think, Tiffany, for a moment, there's just a moment where you lose this person in front of you. And I think it's Anya who, like, spots the person. And at some point, you do have to jump down because it is an opening. It is a clearing. And I think as you're jumping down, you push Tiffany in the direction you note. And Tiffany, that is the thing that, like, you notice the flash of the person, and you have just enough to cut through the crowd and keep on them. On the other side of this crowd, Ida is still with you, of course. You did not fail. And the four of you, you, Ida, and Anya, all slip inside this door that this person is holding open as this person slips in after you and closes the door. I would like to jump back to Argus now. Argus, you've been led towards part of the city. I don't know how. Are you going to stay with this person? Are you going to try and leave or run away at any point?
How many of them are there?
One at first.
Yeah, if there's just one, I might try to get away from him.
All right. So you're being led down part of the street. You can see in the distance there's a larger sort of pointed, not skyscraper, but sort of a large, almost, if you think of like the Space Needle, but instead of like a disc on the top, it's like an orb. You have this tall building with an orb on top that you're being led towards. You see in the distance, it's quite tall compared to the surrounding buildings. That's why it stands out. And you can see that you are being led towards an area where there are more of these guards. You're not quite there yet, so this is your chance to break free if you want to.
Am I shackled or anything?
Nope. This person is behind
you,
though.
He's behind me, yeah, just walking me forward. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Let's take a look at this little poison promise thing.
Yeah, do you want a poison promise? What are you doing? I feel like I need to know what you're doing before I give you a poison promise. Are you just bolting? Are you...
Well, looking at my character sheet, I have a point in conceal versus... I have a point in defy now, so they're about even. I was trying to think. I'm a little more sneaky than I am brawny, but I'm kind of even on that. I think I'll be walking forward, and then I want to... If there's something I can pull over, like a cart or a market stall or something, pull it down between the guard and I to give me a chance to run with a bit of an advantage, then I would like to do that.
Okay. All right.
I prefer not to get into a physical altercation, but, you know.
Still sounds like flow, though.
Flow? Sure.
If you're trying to, like, get away quickly.
Flow. When you flow, you move with grace and adapt to your circumstances. Yeah.
Or is it that you're trying to hide, like, nearby? You're not getting away, you're just hiding.
Does it seem like there's a crowd nearby I could get into? Because I could try to run into a crowd.
Yeah, there are buildings. People are definitely seemingly in a rush. And there's some people who seem... the people who are at ease are like the guards. The people in the rush are sort of causing this frantic behavior from other people. And there's store fronts and alleyways around you. You just have this like main walk that you're being led down. It's not quite as crowded as the one that the other three had to slip through. But there is definitely an opportunity of like someone walking by with a cart of some sort that you could push over into the guard.
Okay. If I ask for a poison promise, can you offer it to me and I'll decide whether I want to take it, or do I not know what
it
is beforehand?
I think the poison promise is that if you start causing trouble, before all you did was vomit, now you will have like done something that is, in the eyes of this guard, like more than just suspicious, it is actively antagonistic, and they will make a note of it and it will be recorded.
Mm-hmm. Recorded it as in they know what I look like.
Yeah, recorded as in like not taking the poison promise is like you're still doing this, but you know, maybe there isn't like, think of it as like, you know, GTA where your the alertness level goes up.
Yeah.
And yeah, like I think that, like it's the alertness level, the wanted, your wanted level is going to increase.
I don't really want to do that. Instead, I'll take stress and spend a link from Anya, I guess. Because I have a bunch of links. With
other
Anya.
People can spend links with you. Yeah, you can't spend people. Links with other people.
Anya, could you spend
theoretically,
link
you could spend two of your links to reduce the stress and basically not spend the stress.
I
it's a weird way of doing
it. Yeah, but that would then.
But you only push yourself once, so you can technically spend a link because you can use a link to recover two stress, and you can push yourself for two stress to get a bonus die. So you can trade one to push yourself, stress? But you cannot push yourself more than once. So
wait, okay,
like you can functionally spend a link to
right.
do better because a bonus die. From push yourself is too stress, and you can spend a link with someone to recover too stress on yourself.
Yeah,
but
and you can only
other people could also spend links with you to improve your position. So
well, then could
if
I,
Anya wants to spend a link with you, you can get a further die on top of pushing yourself,
and then null out the stress by also spending a link to clear my stress. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay.
You could do that.
Yeah. So if you spend a link and push yourself, you don't take stress, you reduce a link. And then if someone else, this is separately, uses a link on you, then that would be an another additional die. So those are two separate sort of things.
Mm-hmm. I would help, except I only have one link with you left, and I don't really want to use the last one this early.
Absolutely.
If I can avoid it.
Can I get a link from Anya?
Rally?
No.
No. The silence is deafening.
Oh, it was still muted. Yes, of course.
Okay. So does that mean I have 3d6?
It means you have a +2 to whatever you're rolling.
Oh.
And it's and like you said you were, are you hiding or are you running?
I'm hiding.
You're hiding. So that's conceal.
Risky?
Yep, you are still at risky. Risky standard. I think risky limited, actually.
Limited. And how can I add my bonus?
It's one of the, as you click through the pages, the last one is bonus dice.
After transcendent?
Yep.
Okay. Sorry. Risky, limited, transcendent, no. Bonus dice. Wait, but I thought you said it was adding one. You're saying it's adding dice, not adding a numerical score?
Yeah, it's adding...
Gotcha.
Dice.
Okay.
Well, that will do. That's a crit.
It's a double six.
Our first actual crit, is it?
6-6-5. Damn, if you got 6-6-6, that'd be great. Well, all right. I got to respect this. I think there is like a moment of this cart where you can just like perfectly push it over. And not only does it like spill over, it sort of like falls onto the guard and the guard just like eats it. On the ground, and you have this opportunity, like where the other guards in the distance, like haven't noticed what's going on. They've maybe noticed that there's some commotion, and they're gonna like meander over and take their time, but they haven't noticed like one of the other guards is involved. So they, you know, they're taking their time. Meanwhile, you have the chance to really just like slip away. And in fact, I think on a crit. You can generally get a sense of the direction the others went in. Of course, it's like, you know, they went vaguely north.
Yeah.
So you might head in that direction. But I think you basically have enough of a distance that not only do you hide, the threat is gone where you're hiding. And then after a bit, you keep going. And I don't think that these guards are a threat to you anymore.
Okay. Awesome. That's a good turn.
Yeah. So I assume, what is your goal now? You're just in the city alone, maybe with some of the supplies. You haven't acquired much of your supplies. I imagine there are some people who are maybe doing trade until you ran into this weird situation. So you've checked off maybe, I don't know, a third, maybe a half of your list, if that. But what is your goal?
I think he's going to walk around the city a little bit to get more of a feel as to what is going on. I think I want to collect information as to why people are stressed and moving around. And then after a certain amount of time has passed, maybe go back to the entrance. Let's say, like, you know, by a couple hours before sunset, we plan to return to the town. He'll go back to, say, the entry point or exit point that he knows we have to leave by and see if he can, you know, wait for people to return.
All right. So you are just waiting diligently at the gate.
And also, if I can figure out what's going, like, listen in on people, like, figure out what's going on with the time that I have.
Yeah, I mean, you have a lot of time. I imagine you were up early, right? And you came here. It was a long travel.
Yeah.
And you do need to get back. But I feel like this is a perceive role.
And just for a little color, like, he is also buying a lot of food for himself, if he has anything to trade for that. So
actually, no, I think this is a gather information.
Gather information. Okay. So he's like eating a kebab. He's been thinking about that kebab for weeks. He's finally getting it. He's going to have a little lunch and try to sit and listen on what's going on. So gather information. Mm-hmm. Is that just a...
So because gather information in downtime, often I roll it as limited. This is an action roll still, but it is a controlled standard.
But what? It's no stat? It's just the dice?
I think, sorry, it is perceive.
Thank you.
But that's what you're using in terms of, like, that's the outcome.
Controlled, is that what you said?
Mm-hmm.
Controlled, standard. That's more normal for me.
Is
that's
that
a three.
That's a six and a three, but you have a zero.
Yeah.
Ugh.
I got a question.
Okay. Well, on a gather information roll, so you can ask one of your questions on your character sheet.
What is already in motion here? Or wait. What really happened / happens here? Like, what is really happening here?
As you are waiting around and listening, I think you hear some discussion about what's happening. There's some internal politics that you're picking up on. You hear someone talk about something called the Fur Elite. And then, you know, they're talking about how they're angry or upset. They have this plan to disrupt the synergic defense, and that there's a conspiracy in motion, that there's these terrorist groups called the Greys that are trying to destroy the New Arcides position. The other thing that happens that you're picking up on in terms of what is happening here is these people knowing that there is something going on means that they're not just normal civilians. And I think the thing you realize, I think what clues you in that something is going down that you might want to get involved in or leave, is they just say something vaguely of, like, it's going to go down tonight. I heard it from someone close to the Arcide. They have an inside source. You don't know what it is.
And I don't know if it's
something
the
is
terrorist
happening tonight.
or the current power.
Yeah. And these people are seemingly, like, they don't know either, but there's this conflict, this internal conflict.
Also, when this is done, I have a very, very quick flashback I would like to do.
Perfect.
Probably a zero stress flashback, though. That is, of course, Claire's call to make.
Well, let's hear it.
Well, I'm just basically wanting to establish a scene before we came into town that was Tiffany saying, hey, it's a big city, and if we ever get split up, we should meet at the main gate at nightfall.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's zero stress. I think that's fine.
That's what I figured. That's a very typical thing to say when you're going into a city for the first time and someone knows cities more than the others. Like, that just makes sense. And it means that now mm-hmm. we have more than zero clue how to meet back up with Argus.
Yay.
Mm-hmm. So we cut back to Tiffany, Anya, and Ida entering this sort of dimly lit. So from the outside, it was this like very bright day, and now you're inside and it's dim. It takes a second for your eyes to adjust. There's this smell of like moistness in the air in a city that's like quite arid, almost like a steaminess to it. As you come to see around you, there's like these tiled floors and walls and almost like wooden floorboards leading into tiles that then lead into two separate doors in the back, which you're being led into. As you walk through these doors, off to the side, you see a changing room of some sort. You look in, there's these doors, there's almost like a little cabinets. You see like shoes and coats in there, just off to the side. When you come out on the other side of this little walkway, before you, there is a room filled with steam. You are asked to take your shoes off before going in as you enter what is essentially a steam room or sauna. It is also slightly loud, as you can kind of hear the rush of water nearby. You're realizing maybe this person is telling you as you're going in, and I can tell this to you in person. This person, when you're finally inside, is leading you in, says, "My name is Bellamy Lestrand, and I'm part of a group called the Greys, and there's a couple people I think you should meet. They probably will have a couple more answers for you than I can answer." And you get in, and there's a few people who are wearing clothes that are quite strange. One of them is a tall, muscular person with cobalt black skin, striking green irises, and a shaved head. The other is a short, like, Taiwanese person with layered bowl cut, with short bangs, a septum piercing, and they have a cane with them. The cane has like these stickers, bright stickers all over it. As they're just sort of talking in one of the corners, you're being led over to these two. And there's other people in here. It's loud enough where like a conversation can be had in a corner with some relative ease, while there's like the sense of relaxation truly here that is not existing outside. And Bellamy says, "Tiffany, I'd like you to meet some other travelers." And the tall one extends their hand out. They say, "Hello, I'm Lloyd. I'm leader of the Aphonium Explorers. I'm here to help this planet avoid an oncoming storm."